In our studio here in Chicago today is Peter Greenberg, the CBS News travel editor and the host of Eye on Travel. You hear that weekends on WGN Radio. Peter, what brings you to Chicago? Normally you're in some far-flung place.
Well, you know, I went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I used to sneak down to Chicago all the time. So a couple of days ago, I actually made the trek there because I had to watch the Badgers actually win a game. And they did.
Who did they play? I missed it.
They played Rutgers. It was a very boring game, but they somehow won. That's always a good thing. And then I came down to see everybody here in Chicago.
Where's your next stop then?
Go to New York tonight. Then I'm in Seville. We'll be doing the show from Seville, and then to Rwanda. So there's a nice flight connection you don't want to make.
Now, what are your thoughts about the war now in Israel and travel to that part of the world?
Well, as you know, I spend a great deal of time in that part of the world. We've done a number of our television specials there, including one with the Prime Minister Netanyahu. I can tell you this, that the initial response right now, forgetting the terrible human toll and what's going to continue to be a terrible human toll in that region, is what's going to be happening economically and, of course, in terms of travel. It's not just the fact that airlines have suspended and canceled service to Israel. You're going to see the same thing happening in Jordan, in Egypt, maybe even as far as the Emirates. Tour operators, of course, adjusting their schedules and canceling. Cruise lines repositioning their ships and not making port calls in Israel. This is not a short-term problem. It's certainly not going to be a short-term solution. And the economic ramifications, where you have a country that depends so much on their GDP from travel and tourism, I'm talking Israel, will be badly affected.
Have you heard much about travel to Turkey?
I have, as you know, or maybe not know. My wife is Turkish. I go to Turkey all the time. And right now, Turkey is not being impacted that I'm aware of, although you will see, and the U.S. State Department is wasting no time revising their advisories. You know, they have four different levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And in many of these locations, they're issuing a level 3, which is reconsider travel.
One of our listeners sent us a note. They plan to be in Israel in February. What about that?
I believe it will be okay, simply because if Israel's history is any indication, even though Netanyahu said this is going to be a long and difficult war, no one can afford a long and difficult war here. And the resolution may not be pretty. The collateral damage may be excessive, but it's only October, and I do believe it's going to have to get wrapped up in the next 2 to 3 weeks because no one can literally afford it in terms of human death and in terms of economics. They just can't.
I'm not going to doubt you, although we thought the war in Ukraine would not last this long either. Sometimes these things are hard to know, aren't they?
Yes, but if you look at history, we have the Six-Day War. That was back in 1967. The Yom Kippur War was maybe 2 weeks. And people forget what saved Israel in the Yom Kippur War was President Richard Nixon. He rearmed Israel at a critical time because just like this time, they were caught flat-footed. They didn't know it was going to happen. And they saved them. But the war was then ended. It was negotiated. But it was easier to negotiate then because you were negotiated with countries like Egypt and Jordan. This is a situation where who do you negotiate with? You're going to need a middle broker to come in here.
There's a piece in the New York Times over the weekend, and it was how the United States was a peace and power broker in the past, and our status that way has been greatly diminished, in no small part because Congress can't even find a leader in the House of Representatives. You have sort of the turmoil in both parties, particularly in the Republican Party right now. And if you go back to how we pulled out of Afghanistan, or for that matter, the war George Bush got us into, rightly or wrongly, our sort of marker as a peacekeeper in the world is diminished. And so now you see just a lot more flare-ups, a lot more jockeying for position. And ultimately, I'm sure you notice this and think about this, that affects travel.
It does. And by the way, if you're going to look for a possible broker for peace here, you're right. It may not be us. It may be Qatar or it may be Turkey. They seem to have the best lines of communication with Hamas and the Iranians. So stand by.
What is the general rule, though? I mean, if I had traveled next week to that part of the world or am just leery about it, what are my chances of getting my money back?
Well, you know, there's always that force majeure clause in many travel contracts. You need to read the language carefully. That's one of the reasons why you get travel insurance if you have a substantial investment in your trip. We're not talking a $59 ticket on Southwest. We're talking, you know, a $4,000 cruise or a safari or something like that. Every operator is operating differently. Keep in mind that the real issue here that nobody wants to talk about is when the travel operators can't get insurance, not the travelers, the travel operators. One of the reasons why cruise ships haven't called on Istanbul for years is they couldn't get insurance. The same thing is going to happen almost immediately here in that region of the world in Israel.
Hey, John Williams, I've got a question. Could you ask Peter Greenberg, how does he handle the time changes when he travels from one end of the world to the other when we have only two time changes per year here and we can hardly handle that?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. As you know, John, I only average about 4 hours of sleep a night. I keep my watch on New York time because that's how I have to think how I have to think. But what I do doesn't always work for everybody else. But wherever I'm going, no matter what time I land, I stay on New York time, but I will stay up until midnight local time. And that means no late lunches, no afternoon naps. If you do that, no one will see you for 3 days, including you. And then I will cycle and do my 4 hours. And I do the exact same thing when I return back to the U.S.
Do you ever do those intravenous things before or after to sort of replenish yourself?
Are you talking about just basic hydration or are you talking about Ambien?
No, not Ambien, but yeah, where they kind of, what is it? They give you an IV and they put in a fluids to help you with jet lag and the dryness of the plane and kind of refresh you either before you go on your trip or right after you land. Some people do kind of an IV thing.
Yeah, no, I've never done that. What I do is I'm a big fan of hydration. No alcohol on the plane because alcohol at altitude is a recipe for real problems. I'll get up and walk around twice on the plane as long as I'm not decapitated by the beverage cart. And if I want to sit and read, I'll read. If I want to watch seven movies, I do. If I want to sleep, I sleep. The key is what you do when you land. And if you don't stay up until midnight local time, I take no responsibility for what you're going to do to yourself or to anybody else.
They try to put you to sleep on the planes. My friend Steve Bertrand, who, as you know, travels a lot,
sure,
particularly to Europe, it bugs him, and it kind of bugs me, although he seems to notice it more than I do, that they close all of the windows, the shutters, and then the cabin is dark, and they want you to go to sleep after the alcohol cart has gone by. And some of us like to look out the window at the mountains and the scenery down below.
Are you talking about a nighttime flight, or are you talking about
no,
a daytime flight?
Daytime flight or
well,
early evening.
If they close the shades, I open the shades. That's my right. I can do that. The other thing that I also don't do is I don't eat airline food on the plane. Airline food is an oxymoron. You're sitting there for six hours, and they put a people don't eat airline food because they're hungry. They eat it because they're bored. You're sitting there, and somebody puts a tray in front of you, and you go, well, I got 5 hours. I think I'll consume all of this. I don't think that's a good idea.
Seville, why is that next on your agenda?
I'm going to attend a travel conference on sustainable travel. We'll be reporting on that for our show. And I'll be also speaking at that conference. So I'm only there for 48 hours, which is a normal time for me. I'm not at the beach with a piña colada, I'm afraid to say.
What is sustainable travel?
We can do 3 hours on that, John. Sustainable travel has been redefined. A lot of people, you know, talk about greenwashing. You know, the sustainable travel to some hotels is, hey, please help us not wash your towel. That's not sustainable travel. Or we're no longer using single-use plastic straws. I mean, that's a good idea, but that's not sustainable travel. It's bigger than that. It's following the money. Just go back to the community where the people need it the most. Are they really doing something that's environmentally responsible in terms of how they source their food at the hotel, how they source their water, what they do with their wastewater, what they do with employee housing? That's sustainable travel as well. So it's a very big topic.
Last thought from you about travel to Israel and the impact on that region that this war is going to have?
It is. Hold your breath. Let's hope that saner heads prevail. However, the biggest problem right now are the hostages, because as you may remember, 47 years ago, the Israelis distinguished themselves for the most amazing commando raid ever. That was the raid on Entebbe. And here's the irony. Only one fatality on that raid. You know who it was? Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. He was the commando leading the raid. He's the only guy who died. And it shaped Benjamin Netanyahu's politics from that moment on. So this is not a situation where they can do a raid like that because they have no idea where the hostages are, and they're not necessarily going to be in one location.
Peter Greenberg is the CBS News travel editor and the host of Eye on Travel that you hear weekends on WGN. He's in town, and he was there for the Wisconsin win. It's nice to talk to you, Peter.
You got it, John.